I still haven't heard any of Hamilton.
That's so weird.
But now I'm doing. Now I'm like holding out because it annoys Chris and Case. Because I'm like, I love Hamilton. Like the song where he's like, Alexander Hamilton, start in America.
That's like sort of close.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, that's what that song.
Didn't
about.
They just see it again?
I think they did. Yeah.
I saw them.
Or before. They're no. Maybe they're going to see it soon.
I thought they posted a picture of the playbill.
Oh, possible.
I want to go see a play during Pride Month so I can get the rainbow playbill. Awesome.
Oh yeah, I got one of those and threw it away. I guess it was more iconic.
What'd you see?
It's all Groundhog Day the music.
Oh yeah.
Which I still need to talk about on the podcast.
Yeah.
There have been recent developments regarding Operation Kino.
Gentlemen, the Operation Kino Show podcasters. So the topic of discussion here is what will David's first dance song be?
We are recording before the wedding. We don't know yet. This is all speculation about what's going to happen in a few hours.
In the living room of an Airbnb, the walls are a pale yellow. The furniture is cream.
I feel like you're really excited about recording with a microphone in your hand, and you're forgetting we're a film and pop culture podcast.
I just got back from a bar where I had a beer and some French fries.
And
now we're talking about music. We're talking about music right now. We're talking about the music that could be in David's wedding. Because David has very strong feelings about music, and I think if anyone who listens to this podcast knows, he likes Radiohead, and he likes Bjork.
Mm-hmm. We're going to hear some Carly Rae Jepsen for sure.
Well, that I don't think the first dance will be a Carly Rae Jepsen.
No,
song.
No. Oh, we're going for first dance. Cigar Row song.
Maybe borderline appropriate and also borderline David.
I feel like if David's going Icelandic for his first dance, it's going to be Bjork, not Cigar Row.
Yeah. Well, but what, like, what makes a good first? I can't think of a Bjork song that would make a really great first dance song. Like All Is Full of Love, just everybody watching them sway, like melancholic.
What is that song that she did with the Michelle Gondry video that's Broadway-ish, where she's dancing?
Oh, from the Dancer from Dancer in the Dark?
No, not from Dancer in the Dark, but that's probably the selection of songs we'd be looking at for his actual... That's just so depressing, though. No, I will look this up eventually.
The joke answers are all better than any real guesses, I feel, because I have no actual idea.
No,
he said his wedding's going to be weird, so maybe he's... gonna fuck with us on that level. Anyway, you had a listicle about romantic Radiohead songs?
I did. I was trying to figure out, well, we were back and forth about what Radiohead song. I'm pretty certain it's gonna be a Radiohead song. I just feel like David's love is so deep that Elisa probably shares that. If Elisa didn't love Radiohead on the same level, they probably wouldn't be together.
Mm-hmm.
So Radiohead seems like the best thing. Non-traditional first dance song, Radiohead. This is a Knot.com article. This is legit.
All right.
It's legit.
It's happening.
This couple danced to Radiohead's True Love Waits to kick off the reception. I'm not familiar with the song.
That's a new song. Well, it's an old song.
This is Michael,
oh, yeah.
Katie's husband.
Yeah, Michael.
There's only two mics. You can grab this one. There are only two mics.
Tell me about this Radiohead song. I'm not familiar.
It's an old Radiohead song from the 90s that was just recently released on their new album last year.
You mean they were playing it at concerts until then?
No, they didn't. It was kind of like a mythic song that they stopped playing, I think, around 2000. And people really loved it, and it went away. It's a very beautiful song. It's the last track on their album from last year.
This is my submission. This is what I think they'll play.
It's possible, but also that song was released in the wake of Tom York separating from his wife of like nearly 20 years. And it was clearly written about her. And so if you
maybe
understand
I
the context
will not
of it,
pick that song as my guess.
It's like a very light piano song, basically.
Yeah, but it's about separating from your wife, it seems.
No, it's not. He wrote it for her while they, like, right during the beginning of their marriage, and they never released it. And then they made it and released it on the most recent album after he broke up with her, which is why it's even more just painful to listen to.
But I feel like David, when he's being sweet, he's being pained. He's in pain.
That's fair.
So that his it'll be tinged with sadness, but it will be true to life and dark yet light, sweet yet sad. Radiohead.
I still think amongst this discussion, the best thing that's come of it is them entering the reception to everything in its right place and confusing all the older people.
Katie, what do you think is David's first song?
As I was saying before, I feel like David and Elisa are going to have some connection to a song that we don't necessarily know about, because as well as we know David, we don't know everything about his life. And they're going to take it by surprise. How did you pick your first song, Patches?
My first song was Ben Folds' The Luckiest. Was it? Oh, yeah, it was on the podcast, now that I recall listening to that 48 hours after getting married, listening to the podcast version of my wedding. We picked that song because we had a moment in life where we heard it together. We were in Prospect Park. We had dinner in the park, and there was like a concert, and he played that song. And we shared rosé.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think we were at that concert, but actually inside the confines of the...
Our sweet moments don't take place within the manufactured enjoyment. We live
While you're describing this like wonderful scene where you're sitting at a picnic, it should be clear that if you don't pay to go to the show, you don't see the show. You just see a big green fence that deters
It was
you
romantic.
From seeing the show.
It was romantic.
Fair enough.
Now I'm looking up Bjork songs that are appropriate.
I'm trying now to think, Katie, you and I picked
Billy
Joel, New York State of Mind. But I can't recall exactly what the moment was that was...
We were sitting in the bar that was by our old apartment, and I put it on the jukebox, and you got very happy because you liked Billy Joel, and I don't think we talked about Billy Joel yet. And it's a good song. It's a nice rhythm a first dance song, even though it's not about romance at all.
And when you're the New York City people getting married in South Carolina, you kind of gotta...
You gotta show off, you know. Well, now we're the North Carolina people at a wedding in New York, so my, how the tables have turned.
I have no identity anymore.
Didn't you do the Hora at your wedding?
Yes,
we did.
You are not Jews.
Would you like to explain?
I have a lot of Jewish friends. I did a lot of chairlifting in my day. I feel
I see.
It was necessary to reciprocate.
I feel like we'll do the Hora at this wedding.
Oh, most certainly that's about to happen.
David told me, he whispered in my ear last night at the bar when
Don't tell us what David whispers in your ear.
I look forward to working together.
I can never say what, it's a loss of translation moment. You'll never know what he whispered in my ear. But later in that conversation.
Did he lean over to you and whisper, Havana?
Later he told me that they were going to break. They're going to break a glass. So
visitors.
There's some tradition. There'll be some tradition. Jewish tradition. We now have David Sims of the Blank Check Podcast.
Hey.
First dance song. What do you think?
Exit music for a film? Right?
We were just talking about Radiohead, but we don't know if there's a Radiohead song sweet enough for a first dance.
Yes, sweet True Love Waits.
Oh,
right?
Wow.
He's very sort of
you're guessing what we're talking about here. That's I'm impressed.
Well, Radiohead's just what I thought. I don't know. That's what I associate with David Ehrlich.
What if it's Paranoid Android?
That'd be great. There's that like dancey part in the middle of that one.
By the way, the Bjork song that I was thinking of earlier was It's Oh So Quiet when she's dancing on the street and the robot's dancing. But that's not a first dance song.
And then that's the one with the mailbox and then she does the big flip.
Yes. I think they'll play Bjork. I don't think David can have a big celebration with music at it where he doesn't play Bjork. But the first song.
What are some other Dave
Actually,
faves?
David Dave, is David also faves, I should a say. Billy Joel fan.
Is he?
Well, if you get him drunk enough and take him to a karaoke room, he will sing
Piano
Billy
Man?
Joel.
He sounds like a smart guy. He is a smart guy. I love Billy Joel.
Are you? I can't tell if this is a diss, a slight.
Not a diss. Love Billy Joel. Here, I need some water. Here, Dave, take the mic.
Other Dave on the mic. Hey, I'll have a beer.
I'll have a sipping beer.
All right, beer time's happening.
What did you guys do today?
We're going to pause this.
Good. All right, we're back with a mini segment. Who's in the room with us right now as we put on our ties for this wedding? Who's standing next to me?
It's Chris Rosen.
Where do you work, Chris?
I work at Entertainment Weekly.
Because everyone at this wedding works somewhere in the media, apparently.
It's a film Twitter wedding.
Yeah, so you're at David's wedding.
Yeah.
Now, here's a big question about David.
Yeah.
Have you ever agreed with him on any movie ever?
No.
No, nothing.
I mean, probably
something
I have.
Must come to mind.
I actually can't think of anything that comes to mind.
You have hot takes, and he has hot takes, and occasionally those hot takes
not
burn
like
together.
Pacific Rim, and I also did not like Pacific Rim.
Who likes Pacific Rim? Does anyone in this room?
I do. That's fine.
Griffin Newman, star of the show The Tick, is in the back shaking his head. No.
You want his notable person?
He says it's middling. Don't let that affect tuning in this August for when The Tick airs. I think right. Oh, yeah. No. I also met Pacific Rim. And yet we're getting a sequel.
Yeah. With, it'll also suck, probably.
Your boy, John Boyega. You love John Boyega.
I do love John Boyega.
Can he save Pacific Rim?
I'm sure that's a hot take coming to Slashville near you.
Wow. That's a diss bomb, but we don't approve. We don't mind. So you agree with David on Pacific Rim only?
Possibly. It's hard to keep up with David's hot takes.
What did you think of...
I didn't love Carol as much as him.
What did you think of Carol?
I mean, it's fine. Let's be real.
It's fine.
Just fine.
That's a hard, reductive take on Carol. One word, fine.
Just fine. Fine
it
out.
A movie that means everything to David. He's emotionally invested in these two women and their journey, their romantic journey. Fine. It's fine?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can't win them all.
Case fell asleep watching it.
Wow. We got people who just nodded off during Carol. This is a totally different type of episode of Fighting in the War Room.
So what did you guys decide David was going to walk down the aisle to?
Well, we weren't debating that. We were debating
first dance.
What his first dance would be.
Okay.
Do you have a thought?
I mean, the Pacific Rim theme, obviously.
I think it would go something like...
It's your boy from Game of Thrones.
Ramin Djawadi.
Yeah. Either that or...
I'm not looking up and reading his name, so I apologize if I botched that.
It's either that or one of the songs from the Pitch Perfect 2 soundtrack.
He doesn't love Pitch Perfect 2.
No,
does he?
Does.
No, he's a defender. Other people don't really like
no
Pitch
one
Perfect
likes
2.
Pitch Perfect 2.
They turned on it.
Just David.
But you like Pitch Perfect 1.
Love Pitch Perfect.
What songs in Pitch Perfect 2 do they cover?
Don't even remember.
Wow.
Sia?
Isn't it Sia?
Sia?
I think it's Sia.
They did a...
This is Case Wickman of the New York Post currently. And what podcast do you do, just for the record?
I do the podcast with Pep about Riverdale.
There you go. It's still on iTunes.
It's
on iTunes.
It's happening.
It'll be updated soon.
Soon.
We can't tease anything. No spoilers right now.
This is the biggest tease.
How do you pronounce
someday.
Sia? Sia? Oh.
Sia?
I thought it was Sia until Chris here said Sia.
So maybe that... Or Carter Burwell's score from Carol.
It's a sweet piano tune.
It's great. That's the best part of Carol. What'd you come up with, though?
Well, we were back and forth between Radiohead and Bjork. And
what about Girl Talk coming in for an upset?
I could see him playing portions of Girl Walk All Day during the reception, but that seems a little aggressive in the opening number. Well, that's off for now.
That's it. This is great.
Dave, how do I turn this off?
Yeah, you'll be good at this. So,
steal this music.
We steal all our music.
That's true.
Also, there's no way that any sort of automated system is going to be able to pick up this ambience. It would have to be somebody actually physically listening to it and being like, hey, yeah, I own that song. This is mine.
Peter Frampton's Dracula musical. Eric reluctantly goes to the microphone and sighs. Eric says, you know I can just read something else. The crowd shouts, Dracula musical.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of bits.
There's going to be a lot of bits.
It sounds like it.
It's a 4-hour ceremony.
A lot of bits.
Yeah. But this is the reception, right?
No, this is during the ceremony.
Yes.
I could read something else. I just think out of context.
Dracula musical!
It's getting kind of hard to believe things are going to get better. I've been drowning too long to believe that the tide's going to turn. And I've been living too hard to believe things are going to get easier, you know? I'm still trying to shake off the pain from the lessons I've learned. And if I see Van Helsing, I swear to the Lord, I will slay him. Take it from me. I swear I will let it be so. Blood will run down his face when he is decapitated. His head on my mantle is how I will let this world know how much I love you. Die, die, die. I, David, promise to love you, Elisa, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health. I promise to stand beside you in support, to be together in hope, to accept your flaws and to celebrate your strengths. And I promise myself to you with all that I am.
Inasmuch as David and Elisa have exchanged vows of love and fidelity and now stand together, face each other, hold your hands, great, in the presence of you, their family and community, and have exchanged rings blessed by you, we who are here present do witness that they are bound to one another in marriage as long as they both shall live.
Mazel tov!
It is the morning after David Ehrlich's wedding.
Sunday morning. Good spirits.
I'm feeling better than I was feeling after your wedding in terms of taking care of myself last night after I had done drinking.
I thought David's wedding descended in a smooth way, and where my wedding kind of like plummeted into darkness.
I don't know. I feel like, dancing wise, your wedding had a more sustained dance floor that you could like drift in and out of, but was like constantly popping with some people.
Right.
David's, it took a while to get going, but then at the end there, before we did the horror, was really popping.
It's interesting how
off.
Dancing works at weddings, because you have to plan it right. You have to be sure that you have enough time to get people dancing, and you need to kind of trap them in a space to be able to do it, where if you want to get a drink, you're still going to get sucked in.
Yeah, you have to go through the space.
And David's had a little more space to maneuver, so he couldn't wrangle everyone. But he had the right songs in order to get people involved.
That's true. Yeah, the song choice was pretty good. Maybe
it didn't crescendo as much, but that's because we had to go somewhere else and go drink.
And I feel like it was like slightly front loaded with like the newer things, and then like moved into the 80s and 90s.
Yeah,
hits.
We're
doing a wedding dance segment.
Katie is backseat podcasting over here. I'm sorry that we're having a serious cultural conversation about
dancing and weddings
of our podcast, who we love.
Yeah,
an IRL conversation about other things.
Yeah. Weird.
But anyway, before we were rudely interrupted by the glue, it was interesting that, I got oldies as it went along.
Yeah.
People, I guess because they were keeping the elderly dancing while the kids...
Well, and the horror was later than it is most weddings, too, which is fun.
But that's because it's something we should note about David's wedding. David's wedding was a show. It was a jam-packed, showstopper-filled...
Showstopper-filled...
And from beginning with his ceremony, which had some amazing readings from Forgetting Sarah Marshall and I forget what
Good
else.
Goodwill Hunting. And there was a third one.
David's vows,
a Hindu,
which he admitted were going to be long and verbose. They lived up to that hype.
Yeah.
And he was able to make Sofia Coppola references.
And Jerry Maguire. Yeah. David and I went over this during the reception, but I forgot the Jerry Maguire reference at the time.
I said to somebody, but it was the wedding I've been to where the most number of people, like, as part of the wedding ceremony, is like, settle in, this is going to take a while. Like, somebody said that like five times.
Saying that.
Yeah,
David's brother, who gave a very long speech, longer than David's vows, said, settle in, this is going to take a while. But I feel like he paid off that.
What did we learn
about David from that speech?
Yeah, the big fact that everyone should ask David about is how he was a poker maven at the age of 21, apparently.
Yeah.
Traveled to Las Vegas because his brother promised him that he would be able to go, and then he dominated the poker tables. Actually, he dominated the poker tables and failed completely, and then was reborn like a phoenix, playing, spending too much money gambling.
That's I never
What was the total? He won $12,000.
Oh, I thought he won six grand.
No, he won six grand. No,
he had to give $6,000 to his brother because he'd fronted him. But that means
he,
12.
He lost. He took second place in a Vegas poker tournament where he won $12,000 and he lost to Celine Dion's husband.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
R.I.P.
Yeah, in a satellite World Series of Poker tournament, whatever year he was 21.
Put that on David Ehrlich's IMDb trivia
page. Let's be clear, none of us knew David had ever played poker, right?
No.
It does not come up on this podcast. It does, not, talk, it does not come up in real life. IRL.
I have no idea.
maybe he's just good at it but doesn't enjoy it. That seems like something like David could be cursed with.
I feel like
it's like, well,
like,
now I'm here and yeah, might as well.
Of being good at something.
I could win at poker if I play poker. I mean...
Now, before the wedding, we were discussing what their first songs would be. Mm-hmm. Music is very important to David. Anyone who listens to this podcast would know. And the song selections were mighty curated.
They were really good.
In a good way.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And their first dance, we took all the bets on, I think we did this on Mike, that we took bets on first dance. And it was a Cat Power song.
I'm trying to remember the name.
But sung by his friend, who was the lead singer of Chairlift.
yes.
Very recently, which I think I knew that and then forgot. And she definitely like looked the most like a rock star of anyone at the wedding.
She did. She
yeah, they had like, the room a little cool. dance off with David towards the end that was like
I'm sure he's happy that
modern voguing.
Yeah.
His no, cool friends.
It's important that people know that David can really dance, too.
We were there, the members of the Fighting in the War Room podcast
his
and also the lead
friends.
Singer of Chairlift.
Yeah. But they walked down the aisle to a Radiohead song.
Mm-hmm. Which, but not the one we
what
guessed.
Was it? Motion picture?
No, not Exit Music for a Film. It was something on Michael!
I thought
he knows.
I looked this up, but it was
Michelle,
actually...
Which one?
The song they walked down the aisle to?
It was...
It wasn't.
No, yes it was.
It started with like a B.
No, it was Motion Picture Soundtrack.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the Westworld cover of the motion picture soundtrack. That's the real key here that David would be
when
so embarrassed
to When you mentioned that to David,
say.
He just stared at you. Like he did the James Cobb. He made no expression. He didn't move.
We caught him. Not in a lie.
No.
But in an act of deception. A beautiful piece of music. Perfect for the setting.
I would not call that an act of deception.
It was actually from Westworld.
Yeah.
Twist. A Westworldian twist.
Yeah, a Westworldian twist is that Westworld infiltrates everything you do.
Yeah, we would never have guessed that.
But it was beautiful. Everything about the wedding was beautiful.
Yeah.
And we're alive to talk about it. I think
we are.
Key.
We all own some copies of I Found a Hat.
Yeah,
a very nice
that's
children's,
great children's book.
Book
that we
Who is the author of that children's book? Does anyone have it in front of them?
It's over here again.
Because it was absolutely wonderful.
It was so good.
It has,
and apparently he has other books in the series, or at least another book about a hat.
So this is John Klassen, Klassen.
I was particularly moved by... They did a New Yorker profile on him. We'll have to look that up and tweet it out.
We gotta Google that and inform ourselves.
Some beautiful illustrations of the book. It's about two turtles who want to wear a hat, and they decide, because there's only one hat, they shouldn't wear it at all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. That's there's a little tragedy there.
Yeah, but then.
But then
are you gonna spoil the ending?
Well, I don't know. I won't spoil the ending. But
it's
they
about
have some shifty eyes.
It's about learning to share and wanting to share in experiences with someone you care about, which is a nice sentiment for a wedding.
Yeah.
David's wife's mother read it.
Yeah.
Which I wish I would have recorded now because she did a really good job of reading that children's book.
You know what, Dave? Live in the moment. That Hindu poem that David's sister read is about this is the day that these things are happening,
and then it's gone forever unless you podcast about it.
That's a really I was gonna say it's a really horrible podcast.
That's life.
Motto.
Documented audio.
So many Instagrams just to prove what happened. Yeah, hopefully everyone listening knows by now the hashtag was stronger together. Ed.
Togethered.
Yes.
Stronger together.
Follow along. But the big moment of their wedding was also musical. David had been working for many, many weeks to learn how to play a New Order song that I also can't remember the name of because I am very bad at naming.
I also don't remember, but did we... I had an inkling that David was going to do something, but I had no idea that there also his groomsman learned the backup instrument.
Because his IndieWire co-workers had seen him practicing guitar, and word had kind of gotten around, even though no one was supposed to say anything.
Either David's starting a secret band, or...
Yeah, well, they knew he was doing it for the wedding, but I was imagining like, David and an acoustic guitar playing something, and then when it was all of his groomsmen came out, and there was like a drum kit hidden beneath a curtain behind the buffet the entire time. It was a real
and they were all
moment.
In their groomsmen suits, so they kind of like looked like
the Beatles
or a band or something. Yeah, it was
just an organized affair.
Well organized, and they played pretty well. Like I don't think David has experience playing the guitar, but he he learned? Maybe that was an old thing that he did that we didn't know about.
I don't
just
think
like poker.
So.
You know?
Like that was one of my assumptions, is that he'd played the bass before. But
so
as far
I don't
as I know,
want to name drop again, but apparently the ex bassist or the bassist from the Rapture taught David how to play guitar.
That sounds right.
Because he just like happened right. to be in a situation where he was like, I need to learn this for a wedding.
Jesus.
What, did he like tweet about it? And then like, who could have tweeted about
it? I don't think
it?
He would tweet about it. I mean, he had to have
used
known
the back channel that he had opened up early on. Very shady.
But yeah, he did some full on bass chording awesomeness.
And then at the end of the night, they decided to play with a little help from my friends.
Which they apparently had not rehearsed, but then how did they know?
It wasn't as good as the New Order one, we can be clear, but it was very fun.
Yes.
And
sing-alongs.
Yeah, no, they could come.
But
playing.
David can sing.
Yeah, definitely.
He found the right song of like his rumbly bassy tone,
and he like
and he didn't have to. He like nailed it.
Sing in front of a group of people in like sincerity and not in karaoke.
Every day of my life.
Yeah.
Why do I do this podcast?
When was the last time you sang in front of someone other than Michelle?
What is the last time that I sang in public that's not karaoke? I don't know. This, you're making me sad because this is
no,
what I used
like,
to do all the time.
I know. No, I've never really done it. So I have a.
Well, we were supposed to do the Fighting the War musical.
Well, I think now.
Now we have to do the Fighting the War musical episode.
Honestly, like, I was the other person who said I couldn't sing at the time, but now that I've seen David put himself out there, I feel like I gotta do it. You just have to auto-tune me.
Yeah, I mean that'll be super easy. We were talking about doing the Fighting War musical, and there's a David Ehrlich song called the Ehrlich Swagger, and I wrote it all out, and then he was like, "What you have to do is like I have to speak it, and then you have to cut it up to the beat, and then you have to make it sound like notes." I'm like, "Fuck you! I'm not doing all that."
Well, the last thing about New Order is that it's not speak singing. David still had to like belt a little,
right?
But it's not like Ariana Grande stomping around.
If David had sung Ariana Grande,
it would have been
that
amazing.
That would have been a real moment.
Yeah, and that was the wedding. We drank and we got really hot because it was 1,000 degrees out.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, it was very nice. We were just in the sun, but it was nice.
There was a guy who asked me to help move chairs, and I didn't know until the very end of the night that he was actually the wedding planner.
Yeah, because he showed up at the after party.
Yeah, yeah. What? And then thanked me like as we were leaving, like again, which I felt good about because for like a few hours I thought I'd been like had by the wedding staff. Like, we need you to help move chairs. Come on.
It's kind of a bold move for staff to do. Like, that's something you can get fired for. So it makes sense that he was
here. Yeah, it makes sense as wedding planner.
What else? We had the after party. David was very happy.
Jordan
Hoffman convinced me to buy shots.
Wow. Very revealing of you.
Of me? I feel like it's more revealing.
Friend of
Jordan.
The podcast, Jordan.
Oh, friend of the... I don't know. I feel like the people want to hear, like, the overlaps between... between their lives.
Yeah, it was a regular film Twitter jam.
It was.
The Cannons. Amy Nicholson was there dancing.
Yep. We might have to have Alison Wilmore on to talk about how he have too many books.
Me. Yeah. Oh man, that's here's
that was like an hour long
argument. Cultural conversation of the podcast. I was telling Alison that I just moved and that I have too many books. Or that I have a lot of books, and the question is, how do you get rid of books? This is a question for everyone who listens to the podcast.
Well,
how do you decide?
Have Allison on?
How do you decide? No, because Allison scared the hell out of me. She's not allowed on this podcast ever again because we spent an hour where she's like, "I will come over to your house and throw away your books," and we agreed that I would go through my books and take pictures of certain ones that I'm back and forth on, and then she would text me, "No, throw it away." But I am serious. Like, how do you decide what books you want to keep? Because you want to have a library, right? You want to have books that you could go back to, or that you don't remember that you loved, that are there and they scream out to you, or that other people in your life could see and be like, oh, I always wanted to read that. And then you could give them to that, or like future generations. You know?
The argument that I always think of that is not maybe useful for you in this situation is like my parents had books that I would like pull down and read when I was like too young for them, or like didn't really know what I was doing. And I want Charlie to be able to do that, to like get interesting knowledge from our bookshelf. But we also have like physics textbooks on that bookshelf. They need to go away.
Physics textbooks are great.
Oh, here comes Michael to defend physics textbooks.
No, I just like to make sure that our bookcases and their contents
don't fall.
The only purpose of keeping those books is to enrage visitors.
Why?
Oh, because we have the fountainhead on there somewhere.
Oh, you have like, yeah, you have display joke books. That's good.
Yeah, we have an Ayn Rand book that I don't know what to do with. Do you toss it in the garbage or
burn it?
I
think everyone should read The Fountainhead in high school and like read it and know that it's there and then figure out that is wrong.
But high schoolers are so impressionable.
Yeah,
I read The Fountainhead in high school and loved it.
Yeah, so
and
did then, Paul Ryan.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh wait, but people matter.
People do matter,
and well, I'm not special.
I don't These think are I've ever enjoyed conundrums. That book as literature.
Yeah, the conundrum is book getting rid of books.
The conundrum is a book like Anthony Bourdain's No Reservations
Get
memoir.
Rid of it. What?
Well, Michelle said it was really good.
Oh, you haven't read it?
And yet. I haven't read it before.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
So now it's there.
Oh, okay.
And I should read it.
Things you haven't read that you want to read that you already have, that's good.
Yeah.
But, like, I would say, like, you know, don't own anything that's popular enough to be digitized if you don't have to.
Well, everything is digitized.
Right. No, not everything's digitized. Well, then you own weird books.
Well, that's true. I own,
Find
like,
some
I
books
own
that
a,
aren't digitized.
I own a
own
dusty old set of Shakespeare
yeah,
plays
yeah.
that I would
yeah,
never
you always
get rid
want,
of.
You always want to have that.
But what about my comic books, Dave?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That's tough.
Allison was like, why would you even buy them in the first place? And I was like, so that I can have the Green Lantern mythology at my disposal whenever I need it.
I want to go to Allison's house. It seems so very calm.
Yes, she apparently
really
owns
nice.
Nothing.
Yeah, so it's just one small like plug-in waterfall.
That's why Film Spotting SVU is a very organized, lean, to-the-point show.
I have a hard
very
time
concise.
Imagining Matt Singer's throwing away all his comic books.
Well, when Matt had a kid, he had to like make some hard choices.
That's
we all do.
So I would say there are certain ones that you would keep, but I don't think you need to keep. I would digitize a lot of your comics if you can.
I should personally digitize them.
No, I would get digital versions.
But I don't really like reading comics on the iPad. Or that's not a
well. I mean,
fun experience.
Well, you're talking about like reference. Like, if I wanted to know the Green Lantern mythology, like, and I wanted to own.
Well,
all the
I could
Green
read
Lanterns.
A Wikipedia page to find out true Green Lantern mythology, but. I want to get whisked away on Hal Jordan's adventure to...
Sure. So, like, if I want to ever read the Infinity Gauntlet saga again, I have that as, like, a zip file on a hard drive somewhere so I could just load it onto my iPad. If I were to buy a comic book, it would have to be a display version of something. For instance, the Legend of Korra art books, they do the script and the art and like the borders and this thick paper and it's like this huge like volume. That's good. I know another couple who have got rid of their Harry Potter books but are getting the new illustrated ones as they come out for their child who's now like 3.
They got rid of their first edition Harry Potter books?
Just the ones that they had as like adults. Mm. No more than those. Now they're rebuilding the collection as children's specific collections.
Those first edition of Harry Potter books can't ever be worth money. There are so many of them.
Yeah, but as they perish.
I guess so.
The American first edition.
Children, they will be valuable.
After the great event... As I'm calling it.
I think the most valuable American edition of the first Harry Potter book is J.K. Rowling came over to and did like a signing in San Diego of like 500 first edition books. And that's the most valuable American Harry Potter volume you could own.
Wow.
Yeah, mine were all just picked up at like Barnes & Noble at midnight. I don't think there's...
What's the most valuable?
Listen to the podcast, Michelle.
Yeah. But I went through this a while because I've also started collecting Harry Potter first editions, and I went through this thing where it's like you open it, and inside the book there's a line of numbers, and like the last number is the edition, and the second two numbers stand for something. I found the code. There's a whole website about how to find better Harry Potter books.
Whoa.
But I think it's like very specific books to you. I'm not going to... I think what's dangerous is if you just start amassing books that you think... your future child might like, and then you have to hold on to it until your future child learns how to read.
And then your future child is like, no. And you're like, I've carried this book around for 8 years.
Yeah.
And then you get to throw a book at a kid.
Then you become that dad.
You learn the thing I wanted you to learn.
Yeah. I mean, we've also collected a significant amount of children's books that I feel like
We Found a Hat.
We found a hat.
Classic. Yeah.
I mean, the dirty secret of children's books is that when you're as young as my child is, they just chew on them, and that's why they're all board books, and you will throw those away and not regret it because they're disgusting.
Wow.
So eventually we will read beautiful books like We Found a Hat, but right now they all have to be very durable.
I should purge. But to bring it back to David and comic books, no Marvel movie mentions, no DC movie mentions, but there was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles reference.
There was a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
reference. From his brother.
Yeah.
From his brother.
Yeah, and a Jerry Maguire reference.
Apparently, David was a huge TMNT fan. Although, kids of a certain age,
yeah,
or all people of a certain age, were
Think? Java has never seen any of the Turtle movies, so I think I've managed to convince her this weekend to at least do the first one as a Jim Henson production oddity. We might not.
It was a Jim Henson movie?
The Jim Henson company did the puppets.
Oh.
Dave, which turtle were you?
Which turtle was I?
Yeah.
Like in spirit?
No, like which was the turtle that you identified with?
I was the Donatello turtle.
Mm, I was also into Donatello.
I was also into Donatello.
Oh, were you all into Ravenclaws?
But I also liked Leonardo.
All right.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Like I thought straightforward leader.
Well, see, I always catch flack from people about liking Leonardo and then liking Cyclops of the X-Men.
Mm.
I like noble people, earnest. They just want to do a good job.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to be Raphael, but why? Why?
Because Raphael's the relatable character when you engage with Ninja Turtles.
I thought Michael was the one.
He's relatable because he's like he's confused and he's brash and what? Why?
I think Raphael's a good preteen male where you're like not like full on hormone rage yet, but you're like I should be powerful, I should have control, I feel like I should be more adult, treated more like an adult.
And if you're still a Michelangelo, you're a Donatello mission.
Yeah.
This is how we all wound up here.
Yeah, we're all Donatello.
So
a bunch of Donatello Ravenclaws.
Oh, they talked about how David handles bad reviews, which I thought was especially relevant to this podcast.
People yell at him.
I think the review he quoted or a tweet response was like, David Ehrlich, take a step back and go fuck yourself.
Yes.
Which is pretty good.
I thought that might have been a quote from one of us.
It sounded like it could be. And he marveled at how David just kind of laughs it off. And I thought, if you've ever listened to this podcast, you know that about him. And, this is a good quality of David's.
Yep. Doesn't care what you think. Somewhere in Japan right now, David's really...
So we're going to the wedding brunch in like an hour. Are we going to try to grab him and put him on mic? Because he's not been on mic yet, right?
I could try, yeah. No, he has not been on mic. We were doing a maybe segment that might make it in, and he walked past us, but I don't think he actually got on.
I'm glad that you did not do that to me at my wedding. All right,
try to get you on mic.
Yeah.
What about the day?
It was all
after,
done
though?
So covertly.
Yeah, but I mean, I also have video of us... me mocking you as you literally go into your like room.
That's true. That haunts me.
So like that's not on the podcast.
At the end of the wedding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like there goes Patches.
I was
into
just
his bedroom.
Someone about that.
Next to his parents.
Yeah. The end of the night of my wedding was like 8:30 or something. Except the parade with everyone I knew was leading me to my bedroom.
Yeah. Like
which
everyone,
is not what you
he,
expect.
Like, turned and did like a Queens wave.
Yeah.
No. Leading you to your wedding bed.
That was
Whatever the term
very
is.
Strange.
It was
called,
very
it's called
medieval.
The bedding ceremony in Game
and yet,
of Thrones.
Michelle, as far as I know, was completely asleep. Yeah. Yeah. And your parents were next
the
door.
The myth of the wedding night.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah.
So,
go
David.
To bed. Everyone, go to bed.
David, yeah. I don't think would be having that experience either. Based
should
on,
we just go ask him that tomorrow?
How much fun he was having at the end of the night. I'm just going to make that guess. Well,
we all had a great time.
We had a good time. Thanks, David.
He didn't enjoy walking around immediately after getting married saying, I'm looking for my wife.
He did indeed. And then Elisa came up and said, I'm looking for my husband. And I was really proud of her. Tit for tat.
Indeed.
Well.
Is that it?
It was a good wedding. I'm disappointed that someone tweeted at us that David's the best member of the podcast.
I mean, it's his wedding day. Someone tweeted that you were also the best member on your wedding day.
We're all the best members.
I don't get to have a wedding day best member tweet.
Aww.
Well, that's right. That's a personal choice, Dave.
You need to have a life event, because we were talking about how we didn't know when the next time we'd all get together in the same room would be.
Just do something that inspires us all to go to Denver.
We need an excuse. We need Life Day. What did they do on the Star Wars holiday special?
you do horrible songs and spend time with your Wookiee family.
Yeah.
Oh, Lumperoo. He's back in canon, by the way.
Is he?
He's in a new novel.
Officially in...
He survives Return of the Jedi period, Chewbacca's son.
Wait, he is in a...
I'm walking away and getting more coffee.
Force Awakens
in a Life Debt book.
Wow, now that's the way to go out.
Chewbacca's son lives. David Ehrlich, married.
We have one more song for you tonight. We're going to need some help. We have never rehearsed this. It's going to be a train wreck, and we're going to need some help from our friends. Also, I'm a little drunk.
Yeah.